from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We were in the middle of our tournament when my friend John said he found a body in the bushes over there. I ran over there because I'm a healing monk to try and help, but obviously my magic wasn't strong enough because the dude's body was missing a head.
It's Mike Shope.
My friend decided to try and use a necromancer spell, which didn't work, which I knew it wouldn't.
And the Bulldog.
And apparently we contaminated the crime scene, because that spell uses a lot of glitter.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, I guess it makes sense that with Josh and Brayton in here talking mostly about the NHL, that the NHL Network or NHL Network would be on this TV right now. That is not usually where I turn on a given afternoon. I wasn't even honestly between us sure that we had NHL Network, but there it is. That's fine. It makes sense. It's good. It's good. The ticker, the signings. Where I sit, the box blocks the very bottom left corner of the screen, which is where the NHL Network sticks the logo of the team making the move. So I have to sort of move over here. Oh, Toronto. So signed Anthony Stolarz. I think I knew that one, but I have to look, you know, sort of come. I guess I could move the TV, but that's how we start. It's July 1st, and you know, you Sabres fans know this all too well. You don't look directly at it, July 1st. If you do, I'm warning you, if you do, you don't have to hate everything about it. You don't have to hate everything about it. You don't have to hate that those 20 players we just heard signed, you know, for 7-year, $50 million contracts are all by other teams. You don't have to hate that. You can get there. You can remind yourself how those deals can end up being pretty bad over the years, you know, if you don't win kind of right away. I mean, the Sabres have been down that road with Oposo or just, you know, Skinner's gone now, these big contracts that didn't amount to winning teams. And, well, you know, you kind of just sort of let them die or you buy them out in the case of Skinner. Not great. You can like, it's a choice. You can like one or more of the names of the players that were signed. One thing about just kind of taking the stick to the pinata that is the Sabres every July 1st is, man, I mean, some of these guys, these are serious players, and not all stars. I mean, most of them are going to be players that you know very little about, or that I know very little about. But who I read, who I turn to for, you know, their thoughts on lesser-known NHL players, there are some guys here I think that have value. Do they represent the collection of this to this point without a trade yet that we've, you know, we have to talk to chew on? Do they represent the difference between the Sabres being the Sabres and being, you know, kind of dead by February, if not December? Or do they maybe, are they maybe exactly what they've been lacking? I'm going to talk to Chad Dietemenesis coming up here in less than half an hour. Paul Hamilton, too. We'll take your calls at 803-0550. They were not, there's going to be a but here, and you know what it's going to be. They were not likely, I mean, we talked about Stamkos for a minute. One or two of the other bigger signings, I suppose, Lindholm. They were never likely to do that. And some of it is because they're the Buffalo Sabres and they never do that on July 1st. And some of that is because they're really kind of, you know, it's defensible how up top with the money they've invested in Thompson and Cousins and the defensemen that, you know, they probably didn't think that they needed to do something like that. You may disagree. The but is that there isn't the trade that I think would represent the difference between win and lose here in the fan base over the last few days. I think that is the thing. If they were able to trade somebody, you have so many names now, this is something we're going to have to get sorted out, of players that are kind of on the fringe. I mean, Jason Zucker is not going to be on the fringe. He's going to be in the lineup opening night at $5 million. But, you know, a couple of the other guys, Nicholas Obey-Kubel, does he play opening night? Malenstein from the draft pick trade round two on Saturday. And then, of course, the Kulik, Rosen, Savoy club from Rochester. Krebs, even. Like, who plays, who doesn't? What happens in this section of the team is, you know, that's very much to be determined, up in the air. I think if Kevin Adams, maybe he still will, but I am too old and I've had too many, you know, disappointing Julys over the years to give the Sabres this benefit of the doubt. They have not earned it. If there is a trade, then there is a trade and we'll probably be excited. But it doesn't really, it shouldn't really surprise anybody that it didn't happen. I think, you know, Sabres fans who've been through it, I think that is the one, that is the difference maker. If one of those, it's not going to be someone they signed today, but if one of the Rochester guys, or it's too late for the draft picks now, in some other way, they are able to turn youth into right now, helping them win this year, one more play, then I think maybe we're going to like it. My position on the trade idea going into the draft was, it seemed everybody I knew wanted it, just sight unseen, trade the 11th pick, okay, well, then trade the 14th pick or trade one of these other young prospects for somebody that I can stick right in on the wing with Thompson or just third line center, anything like that. Then, you know, go from there. At least we're going to have something, you know, credible. And I would always say, I don't think I need that. You know, I remember talking to Mike Kelly last Monday with Bulldog here, and he's not here again this week. But last Monday, Mike Kelly, I think maybe I put the question to him about trading that pick. And he's like, well, I don't think you need to do that. You know, it's a good player at 11, et cetera. And so we went through our Sabres fan, you know, our typical draft slash July 1st weekend Sabres fan existence of, okay, maybe there's this guy. Here's a list of 10 guys. Here's all this. Maybe this guy wants to, Nakash. Maybe he needs to be moved, all these different, and then you don't get any of it. I thought, and I said this, and I'll look for your calls in just a moment, 803-0550. I'd like to get one or two in before we get to Chad and start rolling from there. I said last week, Kevin Adams did a press conference, maybe it was Thursday in Las Vegas, the day before the draft, if not the day of, I'm not 100%, but I think it was the Thursday. And he talked about how he had a few trades that he thought were going to happen, or maybe he meant at least one of them. Maybe he thought he had at least one. That's really all, I think, all we need. I think maybe he meant to say, you know, I had a few trades and they fell apart. And I said on Friday, I don't think that sounds like he thinks it sounds. I think he is saying, look, we're trying. And that's no offense to Adams or even Regeer, but that's very Darcy, right? Like, that's, the Sabres were always trying. They were always on the phone. They were always trying to make their, anything we can do. I mean, Regeer was more, there's a budget, and Adams is not, there's a budget. But still, you know, they're always telling you how hard they're trying, and they agree with you, right? They want to get better too, all of that. I think that's kind of what Adams felt like he was saying about that. But what I heard was fell apart. And to me, that's a little bit more than, but that's not what I want to hear, is all. Because there is a skill to making these trades. It's not simply assessing value and stacking up the two sides and the contracts and the possession stats, the advance, the expected goals. It's not just that. It's just, what do they say in Glengarry? Get them to sign on the line which is dotted, right? You have this. I mean, I play fantasy sports. I know these people in fantasy sports. I'm sure some of them think it's me, that you just can't really move them or you can't convince them. And this isn't just a sports thing. This is anything, you know, in negotiations, to be able to consummate it. And I think, and I've said a lot, and I guess maybe, I don't know, like, I'm not proven right yet. I feel good about what I know of the Sabres front office. I think they have sort of the right kind of way of analyzing players and just sort of, I think overall it's pretty good. I think it's respected. But what they have not been able to do, and this is really maybe Adams individually, what he's not been able to do is that one thing. And, you know, people are all saying now, and this was Paul the other day, all through last week, overpay if you have to. And that is easy to say, and that is a subjective thing. Who knows what it actually, it doesn't have to be defined the same way, guy to guy, but just whatever. And I just don't think that's how, well, I mean, what's the evidence so far? He is going to see it. And I think maybe philosophically, the barrier in front of the Sabres is just whether or not they are going to compromise on the value of their prospects, whatever the money means to their overall. Like, they're, so far, it seems that they have not been willing to do that. That's at least, I think, maybe my read and maybe most people's read on, well, do they not think they need to make a trade? That can't be right. I mean, for a player for right now, because Adams has acknowledged that throughout this. He just hasn't been able to do it. And that's not great. I think, you know, there is hope for them. There's talent. And I think a few of these players today, and even, you know, the draft picks, but probably not for a while, can end up being, you know, useful, maybe to put it mildly. Let's hope. 803-0550. What do you think? Chad DeDominis is coming up at 3:30. Sal Capaccio today as well. We'll talk some Sabres, more just sort of like how it feels with them. July 1st is more, if I didn't say it already, more of a funereal kind of vibe for Sabres fans. Maybe unlike any other day on the sports calendar. What do you think of? You think of the guys who left? You think of the stars that ended up signing with other teams? It's a little depressing. Let's go to Tony here. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm any other year, I would probably be kind of boiling mad. But this year, I'm not really mad because I'm thinking that they're thinking that last year they were banking on these kids producing rather now than later, right? So, you know, this is just some names that I came up with. You got Paterka, Thompson, and Tuck on the first line. You got Greenway, Cousins, and Quinn on the second line. Then you got Krebs. And you would hope that either Rosen or Kulik would, you know, maybe they can come up and produce right away. Then you got Zucker. Then on your fourth line, your fourth line is pretty set. You got Lafferty, and then you got the kid that we got from Washington. But, you know, I don't think that they have to overpay. Well, and then maybe midway through the season, if they're not producing, then you can make a trade. But I think that they're banking on these young kids.
Well,
I don't think that. I remember when Darcy Regeer, he used to fall in love with his draft picks, but I don't think that this is it.
Okay.
I think that those kids, if you had better goaltending last year, you probably would have won way more games. I mean, obviously.
Well, you mean, you know, two seasons ago. They didn't even need to win way more games two seasons ago, but, you know, right? I mean, last year their goaltending turned out, maybe not right away, and that's
kind of on them too, because they tried to force Levi in and he didn't have it. So it ended up taking a while before Luukkonen. I think this is most fans, Tony. Sure. I know from many years of experience, and maybe you do too, just what you sound like trying to convince other Sabres fans, even in your own family, that it doesn't have to fail. It doesn't have to fail, but it is just not. It's a matter of the team is about doing optimal, trying to make optimal moves, sometimes under financial restrictions over the years, you know, all the things that go into assessing these guys, then being able to eventually sign them or trade for them, whatever. Part of July 1st to fans is the thrill and excitement of Steven Stamkos signing with Nashville, right? Like, if you're Nashville, this is a great day. You don't play for 3 months. Maybe he gets old. Maybe Marchessault or, you know, Montour and what happened in Seattle is like, oh, no. That's why, you know, well, it's not only why the Sabres don't end up signing these guys. Only one team can. And for most of the years, over the years of free agency, not, I guess, so much anymore, but there's sort of a ceiling on how much the Sabres would be willing to spend. So you're just left out. And I think fans feel left out on July 1st. Sabres fans feel left out. One trade, and, you know, we can maybe even feel good. We can live with it. One real NHL player added to this team that they don't have at the expense of, I mean, you could get burned, and that's one of the reasons why teams are afraid to do it. You know, trade Kulik-type prospects. That, I think, is the tipping point where maybe most fans would feel pretty good about this overall. Because Stamkos, I mean, again, only one team can do it, and it's awesome, but you're never likely to be able to pull that off, to say the least, right? What we wanted here, I think what most people expected, is kind of what they've done, which is attack the bottom half of the roster. And Tony, you talk about last year. For me, July 1 this year, today, beats last year. Last year, whatever it was, whether it was July 1st or not, Oposo back, Gergensen's back, Jost, Eric Johnson, Clifton. Every one of those moves by the Sabres, I thought was questionable. Like, why Oposo back? Why did they have to do that? Why Gergensen's back? Why Jost back? Why Eric Johnson? What you got was, I mean, this was the guess then, but I think this is what they said too. The importance of experience and winning experience in Johnson. Like, the Sabres put that as a priority, which, as I know I said last year, to me was very odd, given how I was thinking they think. But they're still, it's still a hockey club. They're still, that gets prioritized. And I think they felt that Oposo was really important as the captain to what they were going to be last year. And it's just not more important than how you play. So I was not excited last year. I was worried last year. Well, there has to be, this is what we did last year, July 1st or whatever last year. There has to be a trade. There has to be a goalie, or there has to be something else. And there just wasn't. So I'm not assuming there's going to be one now. Come on. How many years of this do we have to endure before we sort of like, yeah, maybe it'll happen. But I do like what relatively little I know about some of these additions. Washington's guys, and also, Zucker's been around a long time, but Lafferty, you know, I think there might be some real value here in these guys. It's not big money. Zucker's the one at five. The other guys, you know, lesser, one smallish 1 year contracts, 2 year contracts. Very interested to hear Kevin Adams talk, which I think will happen today, about, you know, if there's anything specific on roles and which of these guys we might want to, it's like the Bills at receiver a little bit. Like, what's the order? Obey Kubel, Lafferty, Malenstein. Like, what's the order? Where does it leave Krebs or even Greenway? And then the Rochester guys. What is the order here? I don't know how much of that we'll get today, but that's kind of what I think we're going to be waiting on. Matt is next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Good.
All right. So I'm noticing that, like, you know, a ton of people are kind of upset about the moves that we're making and that we didn't make a big splash for a guy like Stamkos or Marchessault, but, like, realistically, these guys aren't coming here. We haven't made the playoffs in 13 seasons. They're going to want to go to a place that has promise, like Nashville, making the playoffs, putting up a fight. And it's just like, I love the Zucker signing. I don't know about $5 million, but, like, I'm hoping for a trade soon. Let me hear your thoughts on that.
Well, maybe you have. I've been offering them. That's like what I've been saying is I think that's the thing that will tip the fan base over to feeling good about the whole, you know, few days. But without it, it just feels like more of the same from the Sabres, which is, oh, we have all these prospects. Oh, we have all this potential. This offseason was, we're adding Lindy Ruff. We are playing to win. And the time for developing talent is, you know, not entirely, but, you know, kind of behind them. You know, this is now about winning this year. And it just becomes tough to, well, it was already, because you wouldn't want to necessarily give the Sabres this benefit of the doubt that they'll be able to actually do it. That's what's left, is to make that move that fits with how you've been talking. And I don't know that for as much potential that there might be in these signings today, that that is going to, well, it's not going to resonate like that, or even, you know, what matters more, which is succeed at being enough to get them in. But we don't know that yet. And I think, like I've been saying here today, like this caller to me is, I think, how most fans feel. Okay, well, sure. But where is the trade? I just don't want to be, I never want to be so dismissive of them that you want to say, like, this will not work. Like, you know, because we don't know. And we know so, most of us will know so little about some of these guys. And of course, the draft picks, that to me, that's just a little much. That it can't work. I'm not, you're not going to hear me say that. It is the area of the team that they wanted to attack, and they attacked it. There's just not the one guy. The one guy that puts it over the top. Okay, now we're ready to make a push. Thanks for the call, Matt. Chad DeDominis is coming up. Expected Buffalo. This is the guy you want to hear describe what the Sabres have gotten in these players, and we'll also get Chad's overall feelings about how this is all gone, starting with Friday night here this weekend. Thanks for listening. Happy Canada Day, July 1st, Bulldog's birthday. He's not here. That's a great way to spend your birthday, off from work. So I know he's having a great time. We'll have him back next week. And we'll be back with Chad right after this time out here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you have someone that can be more than just a five-on-five guy, I think it really helps. You know, so now you have the physicality of someone that's going to get in and have a presence, but also if you can have a penalty killer be part of that, I just think it adds. That's part of why we're willing to give up a good asset to get him. Just thinks, and we like his age, and we like the ability for him to hopefully be with us for a while. This isn't a player that could just be, you know, in and out of Buffalo. If it's a good fit both ways, we can have him for a while.
Assume that Kevin Adams is talking about Beck Malenstein, who they acquired from Washington Saturday for pick 43. Remember, the Sabres made that trade down Friday night, adding pick 42, I guess. That's the one they kept, and then traded 43 for the player. Who is Beck Malenstein? We're all wondering. Sam Lafferty, Nicholas Obey Kubel, etc. That's been a not too unusual July 1st weekend here for the Sabres, trying to dig up information. Is there actually, we don't know who these guys are. They're not big names. This is sort of Sabres free agency life. What will it amount to? What are the expectations? So we'll have Chad Dedeminisis along in just a moment, hopefully, to analyze that. I am coming off, I know you're dying to know, my first baseball game appearance in a couple of years, at least. No, not like fantasy or Stratomatic, actual playing of the baseball yesterday. It was just a family in town from Florida, and their boy is a big ball player. My son has played some baseball. They're, you know, getting along great, and let's get a wiffle ball game going. Which, you know, fine. I'm not going to sit that out. But I'm wearing these same sandals today, these Tevas, which are just like my go-to summer footwear, right? And I put socks and shoes. I wear shorts almost every day. So I'm here with the Tevas, and, you know, the yard's a little bit wet. And I can't believe I didn't, like, break my foot at one point in this game yesterday. It's like my shoe sort of bent underneath me about halfway. Somehow, I mean, I can't believe I was not on the ground, probably with some torn ligaments. Got away with it. Did make the last out. And the kids versus the adults, kids took it. Disappointing result there, but fun. Fun to play some ball. Joining me now on the West Her Hotline, Chad Dedeminisis. Great day to be able to have Chad join us here on WGR from Expected Buffalo. Especially Chad, I'm not saying too much, am I? When I'm like looking at Obey Kubel and Malenstein and Lafferty, and, you know, I gotta reach out and get some dirt on these guys, because maybe you'd say different, but to me, like, these are not big names.
No, not at all. These are kind of these are where the numbers guys live in these type of players.
Yes. I mean, long names, but all right. So of the three I mentioned, we'll get to Zucker. You know what? This is a better way to do this. Chad, if you would, sort of your attitude or your feelings on what's happened and maybe also what's not happened here since Friday.
Yeah, I think in a vacuum, if you just take today, I think today was probably a good day for them. I think they did some good things. They shored up the bottom left of their lineup to be more like what they want. That's one part of it. I think the other part that goes back to the weekend and the draft is you're still missing that one thing. And that one thing is something to your top six. A forward, I don't think it's going to be a center anymore, but probably a winger of some kind. You're missing that. And there's still time. You know, I usually give to the end of this week before GMs start to get to their cottages and stuff like that. But I think it's the one thing that's still missing.
So you're not saying there's a non-zero chance we will still get this trade? You are saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think they're trying. I do think they're trying.
You know, I have been struggling with one of Adam's comments from the other day on that front when he says, you know, he had some deals, words to this effect, had some deals I thought would get made, but they all fell apart. And I think he's trying to make the point. We heard Darcy Regier talk like this many times over the years. I'm working at this. But then, you know, there's the matter of, can you actually pull it off? And do you think it's fair here to wonder about Adam's particular ability to finish a trade or more than one trade? Is that what we're talking about here? Because I believe him when he says that he's working at it and then he had some close calls.
Yeah, I think so. Look, I understand that the situation that he's in and what he's dealing with is difficult, especially when you have to work around no trade clauses at times. I don't think that was really an impact in the stuff that he said that he lost or couldn't get done. I think just it's a difficult trade market out there, and I think GMs are being, you know, priced. A lot of people say prices are always high, but from things that I've heard and prices were in the draft, we're pretty high, and I understand it. I know we had some other things where just teams changed their mind and didn't want to do it when it got close, and that's the way it goes sometimes. But at the end of the day, it is your job to finish these moves, and it can't always just be couldn't close, couldn't close, couldn't close. You got to do it. I mean, and to be fair, he has made trades. Like, he made the Byram trade. He's made some bigger moves. But yeah, I mean, it's starting to become a reoccurring theme here more often than not, where it's, I tried, but I couldn't. You know, I tried, but no trade clause. I tried, but this. But you got to get one over the finish line here.
That's
even
right.
Even if it is going to be an overpayment.
And let's talk about that word. So do you think maybe that is the stumbling block that Adams and the Sabres are having? And I'll go a step further with this, because I look up to you in this area. I think of myself as sort of really just focused on the value of the player, and value takes on a lot of different meanings, the price involved in that too. And so overpayment, this is where they, or you or I, would have to sacrifice. I flatter myself, by the way, to compare myself to you in this way. But sacrifice, like that adherence to value, to be able to make this move that we're out here saying, all of us are pretty much all saying, that is necessary.
Yeah, I agree. I think ultimately if something does get done, it's gonna come in something that probably some fans won't like. It'll end up being one of the prospects you don't love that was moved with something else, but I think in order to get something done, he has to just do that. I also think there's degrees of it too. There's overpaying, and then there's GMs asking for banana stuff, and you're like, come on, you're not going to give you four pieces for a guy that has no extension. That's kind of crazy. So I understand that aspect of it, but I think if something does get done here on the trade side, it's probably going to be, I mean, and Malin's side was that pretty much. It was an overpayment from a value standpoint. But he's probably going to have to do that again to get something pushed through here, especially for that last piece we just talked about.
Right. Chad DeDominicis is my guest. So, Beck Malenstein, does he make sense? We just heard Adams talking about him. This is the trade from Saturday, pick 43. Does he make sense for what they need?
He makes sense for what they want, yeah. I mean, they want a guy who hits more, he is quicker, he's bigger. Plays in that bottom six role, defensive minutes. I mean, it's all of that, penalty killer. He checks off a lot of what they talked about, that they wanted to be more difficult to play against. They wanted to be more defensive in their bottom of the lineup. And he checks all those boxes. Now we'll see what that really means from a performance standpoint. Some of the numbers behind him weren't great. It is important to mention that he was, I think, the second most heavily used defensive player in the league last year, with Nick Dowd being the first.
Mm-hmm.
So he just had defensive minutes shoved down his throat. And Kubel, who was his line mate for a lot of the season, had the same thing. But, yeah, I mean, there's the penalty kill numbers. I keep saying, like, it's difficult to measure, really, in the public sphere, but even still, they weren't great. But that could be a system thing. Maybe it looks better in Buffalo. But, yeah, I mean, it's an overpayment, but I guess it's a guy that you really wanted, so okay. So, basically, I mean, I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. If he's going to be a rotational guy with Kubel, okay. But, again, like, I paid a second-round pick for a rotational guy. It's kind of,
yeah.
So, I don't know. It's kind of, you can get the idea where I am there.
Yeah, no, I do. And I think it's sort of, what summing it all up, serves as a poor man's example of this other bigger trade that we're all pining for. You know, it's like a little bit of an overpayment, but it's not huge, and it's a guy that'll be in the lineup, but, you know, what kind of a difference he'll make. It is really, you know, a lot of what you're describing, I say what they need, you say what they want. I mean, this really, these really are areas where the Sabres needed to be better, and it's very much how they've been talking. I'm thinking about Lindy here, and, yeah, and changing who the Sabres are as a forward unit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't want to say I don't think it's something that they need. I do think they need. I think they needed to be a better defensive team. I think they needed to add a changeup to their roster. They were really just kind of a running-gun team, and when teams took that away, we saw it last year, they couldn't get that forechecking game going. With what they've done today, that shouldn't be an issue anymore. They have a bunch of guys who can do that now, and I think that's what they're aiming for.
Chad DeDomenicis, expected Buffalo. So you mentioned here also Obey Kubel from Washington. Both players from Washington. Malenstein, if not Obey Kubel, also spending time in Hershey. You know, that's been part of what Paul Hamilton has written about with Malenstein. And Seth Appert, now on the Sabres bench with experience coaching against these players, or at least one, in the playoffs. Is that meaningful to you?
I think the Malenstein thing is because he was – I remember that series 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Final with the Amerks. He was a menace against the Amerks in that series. So I could see him, especially from like a, you know, a scouting perspective and even Appert himself, being something you kind of take with you, that guy terrorized us for an entire round. And, I mean, that team is back-to-back Calder Cup champions. They play a certain way, and it's effective in that league. So I think that's kind of – sure. You know, something that they thought about.
So you mentioned maybe a rotation being what we get with these players, Lafferty, maybe others. The guys coming up from Rochester is really where we're wondering, like, what's going to happen? Is there going to be room? We've talked a lot about what roles maybe Kulik, for one, is best mm-hmm. suited to play in the NHL. On that front, does any of this sort of obstruct? I mean, it has to at least a little bit, the path for Kulik or others to make it up here.
Yeah, I mean, right now, sitting here today, there's no room for them. It's just the way it is. So I guess if, I mean, maybe they're a 13th forward. I mean, I keep putting it in my head that there's one more forward to come on this roster. I mean, it means somebody can come off too, but that's why I'm thinking rotational. I mean, right now, you're looking at it, no. Malenstein and Kubel would each be on their own ring in the fourth line, but yeah, maybe Kulik or Rosine or one of them get a 13th forward spot and they try to work their way into the lineup that way. They offer a little bit of diversity if they want to try to bring in some scoring. That's possible. But I don't know, the way this is playing out, I could see them just keeping all those guys on a roster, which I'm not sure I completely agree with in the instance of Kulik, because I think he's shown that he's above that league now.
Mm-hmm.
And what you start to do is frustrate players and players get bored and then that affects their development. So I'm not the biggest fan of that, but also at the same time, you know, if you're pushing for the playoffs that hard and your coach and your GM thinks that they need veteran players, they can't risk rookies, then I get that side of the argument too.
Right. So Kulik is the one, maybe he's at the top of the pecking order here. How risky is it to sort of, what if they're like kind of counting on him to play a top six role, something like that, right out of the minors? And how believable or how credible might that be? Is that too much? Like we want, I think, I don't know, not everybody, but I wanted last year to see sort of more of him. And enough people sort of were talking like He might have been ready for it. And so the next step, if he's not traded, would be to have him start the season with the Sabres. But if you knew they had big plans for him this year, would you support that?
No, I don't think there's a scenario that can unfold here where he's in your top six.
Okay.
If that's the case, you've had massive failures in your offseason. I mean, in that instance, if they can't bring somebody in, then Zucker becomes the guy that steps into that role. I don't think they really want him in the bottom of the lineup, so they're definitely not going to put him in the top of the lineup. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. It can be difficult to manage that where they are. I think they really like Kulik, so I'm not really – he's not a guy I'm concerned about being traded in terms of the prospect. I think he's the least likely of, you know, like those big four, I guess five now, if you count the guy they picked this year, that would be moved. Be really, again, like I said, you wonder kind of how long you can keep him down there without any of this going to be injury. So maybe he will get the opportunity that way, and that's how they go about it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. This will be one of the things. This is on the top 10 list of things Sabres fans tell themselves when it gets to be like into July and you have these issues. Would be, well, you don't have to. You've already said it. Like, you don't have to address this necessarily by night one of the season. But, you know, then we get to 25 games and you sort of forget about them and just, you know, whether it's ever going to happen. Chad, what about Zucker? So what is he maybe best suited for what the Sabres need, and what's left with this player at 36?
Yeah, the price tag a little bit spooked me. I didn't expect it to be that high, but it's 1 year. So whatever, you live with it. You have cap space. It's not the end of the world. But I think he's a good third line addition, if that's what they envision him being. I think he's a guy who could score and he can play defensively responsible and kind of that two-way forward you were looking for. When your commitment is nothing, and I think that that's a pretty solid move. Now, where I start to get concerned is if he has to play top 6 minutes, then I don't know about that one. I don't think he's that player anymore, and that's kind of where my concern is right now. So maybe I'm trying to pump myself up into thinking that's not really going to happen, and putting the blinders on that he's envisioning him as a third line winger, because if that's what he is, that's what he's going to play, I think it's going to be a good move for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want that guy at the top six, basically replacing Skinner, whose buyout became official here yesterday. Are you at peace with that? I am.
Yeah, I think so. It's just, they don't have the role for him, and as we've seen, we know what kind of players they want on their bottom six, and he did not fit that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Chad Dietemenesis along here on the Wester Hotline. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today, sorting out some or a lot of what the Sabres here have been doing, and, you know, talking about what they also haven't been doing. Well, you know, I'm talking like, and you've sort of reinforced this in me, you've also, you're reading you and following you as part of the reason I'm saying it, is just like the consensus that there is about this trade, right? I mean, whatever it might be, that kind of is the difference between failure and success here, at least sort of in how people are reacting to the Sabres this summer. And it's funny, like, to have it be so loud that one way, despite just not knowing much, at least in my case, who the players are we're talking about, what the possibilities are in such a trade, is interesting. We know now, of course, that it can't be 2024 draft picks.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah, I mean, well, they have the first round pick next year, and that could, you know, hold some value. I understand that people are frustrated when that pick was made on Friday, and the thing I kind of go back to is, well, nobody traded their first round pick, and a lot of teams wanted to, and nobody did. I just don't think the pick this year with the class had that much value, and we kind of saw that play out. So, you know, and the one first-round pick that was moved, I think, was the 25 first-round pick for Markstrom. So maybe that kind of gives you an indication of where, you know, the value is right there.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that if they want to make moves, they can still make any move they want. Picking 14 didn't change anything. They have the ammo to go really do whatever they want if they really want to do it. And like I said, I think they're trying to. I think they're going to be out there the rest of this week and maybe even today trying to really hammer something and get it done. It just doesn't get across the finish line. There's wingers out there that I think can and will end up being moved here the next day or two, as we kind of, I call it the secondary trade market. We're through the first wave of free agency now, and now teams kind of reset and see where they are. And then you pick conversations back up and you see what happens.
Right. Nashville didn't know on Friday or Saturday what their depth chart would look like, and it looks very different today. Seattle, similarly. Are there specific that you can think of opportunities stemming from signings today, or if not, Nakash is a popular one. Are there like a couple of names that you would think would be the most appealing?
Yeah, Nakash was the guy that was connected to them on Thursday, Friday. I dug around on that. I found out there actually isn't a ton of interest there, so that's not really a thing. And I think he's going to end up staying anyways. So I think Carolina thought they were going to get Gensel, and now they're not. So I wouldn't be surprised if Nakash now stays there because they kind of need that.
Right.
I mean, Nick Ehlers is the guy who keeps jumping out like a red light. You know, there's been talk of moving him. The price is understandably high. But there's holes there, and there's fits what the Sabres have. Like, I don't know what Winnipeg's really going to do with defense right now. They bought out Schmidt. They lost Dylan. I think they're only sitting right now with five defensemen. So, I don't know, Yoki hires maybe somebody they're interested in, and then you add some more pieces. That's a possibility. Philadelphia's been dangling forwards. Colorado is in an abysmal, horrible cap situation. Ross Colton was a guy that was mentioned. He's not really a top six forward, but I don't know, maybe you go down that avenue with a third-line center, and then you kind of reconfigure your lineup from there. But there's guys. The unfortunate part about the NHL is GMs are very stingy, so it's not like it's easy to get these done because they really, 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 really got to think about what they want to do. Cause, you know, you don't want to give up that first-round pick you drafted 3 years ago.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm thinking of the Mittelstadt trade, and one reason why I like that was, you know, Adams and Sakic both had to be like, okay, well, this hurts a little bit, the player we're giving up, but we like it. How about Patrick Laine? He's not his team's former draft pick. I mean, they're changing all the time anyway. Do you like that idea or no?
If the roster was different, I would, but I think that's just another version of Jeff Skinner, and then why are we doing that again?
Okay.
They kind of told us they don't want that, so, and then there's the off-ice stuff there, which, again, it's not Laine's fault, but I don't know if they really want to potentially deal with that this season, so I don't really see a fit there. If things went differently, maybe, but nah, I'm not a big fan of that.
Okay, one more, Chad, if you don't mind. Stamkos to Nashville, the Seattle moves, I mean, there were some, you know, of course, big contracts thrown around today. Do you have a couple that you think are really sharp? I know Travis Yost likes Arvidsson for Edmonton. He liked the idea of Arvidsson for Buffalo, he told me last week. Or maybe where did it get stupid?
The defense market was insane. I'll say that. I mean, it's back to where it was 2 years ago when just the contracts they kept coming in per defenseman was just bananas. I guess I'm kind of glad the Sabres stay out of there because like, I like Matt Roy as an idea. But yeah, I mean, that defense market was crazy. I think Arvidsson was a good one. I think Tuukka Teravainen was a nice, sneaky good deal by Chicago. That was a nice cheap one. Warren Fogle wasn't terrible. He was a guy I had my eyes on. He went to the Kings, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
So that was a good one. Yeah, I mean, I guess my biggest takeaway for me is that the Sabres dodged the Chandler Stephenson bullet because that, honestly, I think that's the contract that today is going to be the most regrettable because that is an insane contract by Seattle, and best of luck to them with that.
Right, Seattle. All right, Chad, so are you like, you know, when mini camp ends for the Bills or this stretch for the Sabres, then you go away for a month to a cottage and just relax, or no?
No, no. This week is still going to be a little crazy, nutty, getting everything done. It calms down this week, but then it gets into what a stat guys love, and that's the deep dive articles that you spend a whole week digging into something, watching video, looking at numbers, and start putting those out. So really the middle of August, I take some time away, but not until then. It's just grinding away at some deeper stuff.
Let's go. Thank you so much for being available today.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Chad DeDomenicis, Expected Buffalo here on WGR. It's really good. I mean, good analysis on the signings and maybe some still top players the Sabres can or maybe shooting for or we can hope for just one. I think, you know, he sounded the same. And maybe you agree or don't. Maybe we'll I know I'm going to ask Sal this. I want to talk a little bit of hockey with Sal coming up and then some football, of course, at the top of the hour. But the way that one move that fans would see as bold could tip the whole perception of Adams and the Sabres. You know, everybody, it's never everybody, but so much of the consensus. Locally, analysts, so many times, every time, the takeaway was appealing system, go get one guy to fill out your NHL roster, like a difference maker. And they've been talking, Adams has been talking about wanting to do that himself. What is Lindy Ruff doing here? Let's win playoffs, all of it. Where's that one move? We keep saying it. I do want to catch up with Sal. He was not on with me at all last week with Bulldog away, and just get into some football stuff there to break it up. But we'll talk about just July 1st as a Sabres fan. It's not always easy, to say the least. That'll be coming up. Paul Hamilton will join me later. There is development camp with the Sabres today, and they announced the home opener with the schedule release tomorrow. Sort of feels like, you know, like last week did. Once you had Game 7 one week ago, and then all the different newsy things that were coming along, we'll have the schedule tomorrow. But we'll talk to Paul about Konsta Hellenius and the other prospects who are on the ice today for the Sabres. That'll be at 5. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Shope, back with Sal after sports here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.